Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We go to Libya now. The sounds there of NATO airstrikes over Tripoli early this morning, local time, and we often speak with John Burns, who's reporting from the Libyan capital of Tripoli. He's the London bureau chief of our partner, the New York Times. So, John, I gather a little of NATO's version of shock and awe overnight. What do you think the mission is this morning?
Well, I think it's plain that NATO's commanders and the Prime Minister of Britain, the President of France, and the President of the United States are seriously worried about a stalemate that appears to have settled over this conflict. We are now deeply committed, and they need some kind of game changer. And last night, these attacks, as seen from the roof of the hotel in which they have foreign reporters here sequestered, certainly felt like a potential game changer. It had a kind of blitzkrieg effect. It was very reminiscent of the early strikes on Baghdad, which I witnessed from the roof of another hotel back in April 2003. We counted somewhere between 15 and 20 big strikes, bombs, we think, not missiles in the main, with gigantic fireballs and explosions, and almost all of them concentrated around the Bab al-Aziziyah compound, which is the leadership compound of Muammar al-Gaddafi.
But John Burns from the New York Times, as someone who witnessed those airstrikes in Baghdad, nothing would have changed in Iraq if the troops hadn't moved in. What's going to have to happen on the ground for indeed these things to be a game changer?
I was thinking as I was watching this that it was rather more like Gulf War One than Gulf War Two. And if you remember, in Gulf War One, U.S. Troops, Allied troops, did not advance into Iraq. Saddam Hussein survived a very severe bombing campaign and a subsequent rebellion on Iraqi territory by the Shia of southern Iraq. And it seems to me we've got a situation pretty much like that now. The government of Muammar Gaddafi has definitely been shaken, seriously shaken. There have been some serious defections, as you know, of senior ministers, most recently the oil minister. The economy of the city is virtually at a standstill. There are gigantic fuel lines everywhere. There are officials that we talk to who are seriously concerned for their own future. But in its essence, my feeling is that this government could survive for a very long time under these kinds of airstrikes.
Although, John Burns, if the comparison is to Gulf War One, certainly Saddam Hussein survived the fact that no troops went into Iraq, but he only survived the rebellion because there was no no-fly zone in the critical areas of Kurdistan. That is not the case in Libya. There is a no-fly zone. Is NATO possibly counting on a rebellion to finish the job here?
Well, they are, of course, and they're hoping for an uprising within Tripoli itself. There's very widespread dissent here. When we go out in the Medina, what we find is there are pockets of support for Colonel Gaddafi, but there's rather a wider dissent, people who appear to have welcomed the bombing strikes, which I have to say, as far as we can tell, are very, very accurate, or to use a word that was used to me in the Medina here the other day, pinpoint, said a man who appeared to know practically no other word in English.
John Burns, London bureau chief for our partner, the New York Times, reporting on the extraordinary and large-scale airstrikes that NATO has escalated over Tripoli, attempting, as John Burns put it, to possibly produce a game changer in what looks like a stalemate in the conflict in Libya. Thank you, John.
Thank you.